من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكأي من آية في السماوات والأرض يمرون عليها وهم عنها معرضون، وما يؤمن أكثرهم بالله إلا وهم مشركون. أفأمنوا أن تأتيهم غاشية من عذاب الله أو تأتيهم الساعة بغتة وهم لا يشعرون. We are continuing the tafsir of Surah Yusuf, and inshallah we're starting from ayah number 105 today. If you remember last week, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and in these verses he told him that all of these stories that you are mentioning, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, the story of all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, these were not something that you, O Prophet of Allah, knew before this. But in fact, all of these stories are given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the form of revelation, in the form of wahi. And this should be complete proof to the people around you that this Qur'an is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In addition to the fact that you are unlettered, you don't know how to read and write, not even Arabic, let alone the other languages like Hebrew and Aramaic in which the previous scriptures were written, and yet you are able to bring these stories, like the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, in great detail. So this should be proof for the people who have any doubt that this Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Most people, even though, O Prophet of Allah, you are eager for them to become believers, they are not going to be believers. And I gave statistics last week that still the majority of the world are non-Muslim, one-fifth or maybe one-quarter of the people of the world are Muslims, but the rest are non-Muslims. And this will always be the case, that أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ, the majority of the people will not be believers and will not have iman. So, keeping that same theme, continuing, this is where we start off at the beginning of today's lesson. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. Those same people that you are trying to invite and you are calling them towards Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about them that how many signs do they, in the sky and in the earth, they pass by them, and yet they continue to turn their back to them. Meaning that there are so many signs, so many ayat, so many miracles around them that they are looking at, and yet they continue to reject iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They continue to reject faith, and they do not have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are a few words that we need to kind of focus on and contemplate over. One of them is the word ka'ayyin. Ka'ayyin is the first word here, and this is like the word kam in Arabic. Kam means how many, and kam is used in two forms. One is when you are asking a question that how much money do you have, okay, or how many children are enrolled in the Islamic school here, how many people come for salat every day. So that's a question. But then the other form of saying how many is to ask a question to the person in front of you with an intention to show what's known in Arabic as takthir. Takthir means a great big amount. Okay? How many times have I told you to do your homework on time? How many times did I buy X, Y, and Z things for you, and yet you continue to be ungrateful? Okay, so this is the second form of kam. How many? When you ask a question with the intention to show that you've done something so many times, or the thing that you're talking about, it has happened so many times. So ka'iyyin is like that, but it is multiplied many, many times over. So kam means how many times have I done this for you, or how it's like a question that you're asking the person to show a lot of things. But ka'iyyin is multiplied many, many more times than that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that how many signs do these people see in front of them? How many miracles are, produced in front of their eyes every single day? The rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the moon and all of its phases, the stars and the planets, and the whole universe and the galaxies, everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, which is so huge that we cannot even get our mind around it and we cannot imagine how huge it is. So these are signs that they see with their own eyes, and they are taught in their science classes and they are taught by scientists, and yet they continue to reject them. They continue to turn away from them. So the scholars have actually mentioned that ayah, the word ayah, it can be of three kinds. And ayah, basically, if you want to look at the literal translation, it means a shay'un ajib, meaning a strange or wondrous thing. That's what ayah actually means. Okay, for example, if you say about a person, huwa ayatun fi dhaka, meaning he is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his intelligence. He is such an intelligent person, it's as if he is a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are three types of signs or three types of ayat that we can find around us. One of them is the thing that we see on a day-to-day basis with our own eyes, and we kind of even take it for granted somehow. And these are the things that I've mentioned already: the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the phases of the moon, a baby coming into existence and being born right in front of our eyes, being created from nothing, nothingness, created, and from that created a walking, talking human being. That is a miracle that is being performed in front of our eyes, and a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming into existence in front of our eyes, and yet, because it's kind of an everyday thing, we take it for granted. There are verses in Surah Ar-Rum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one after the other, his ayat, his signs. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافُ أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَأَلْوَانِكُمْ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ مَنَامُكُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَابْتِغَاؤُكُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ and so on. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ يُرِيكُمُ الْبَرْقَ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. So in Surah Ar-Rum, which is basically the second page of Surah Ar-Rum, you can go through verse after verse, starting from فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe so many of his signs that are around us every single day, and they should instill into us that there is a creator that has created us. Okay, that fitrah should be within each and every human being after seeing these signs around him, that there is a creator who created us. Okay, and then that iman is kind of officiated or becomes official by the emergence of a prophet that tells them that yes, there is a creator and he is Allah, and you have to worship him and him alone. So this is what happens when a person ponders into these signs and miracles that are around him. So this is the first type of ayah. The second type of ayah is the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdoms that we can find within those commands that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So the second type is the miracles of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I'jaz, ayat, miracles that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were given to show further proof of their prophethood. So that's a second type of ayah. And in our case, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was given and performed many miracles. One of them was the shaqqul qamar, the splitting of the full moon, and the many instances where the rizq or the food was less, and by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam putting his hands inside it, the rizq became more and was sufficient for everyone. and many, many other miracles besides. So, and other prophets, they had their miracles, like the Asa of Musa alayhi salam, and the shining hand of Musa alayhi salam, and the miracles performed by Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, bringing the dead back to life and curing the sick that were terminally ill. All of these miracles were given to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to show proof of their prophethood, that they were in fact from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the second type of ayah. And the third type of ayah is the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has given us, and within those commands there is so much wisdom that we sometimes it goes over our head and we don't understand the wisdom behind them. There is a wisdom, for sure there is a wisdom. Sometimes you understand it, sometimes we don't understand it. For example, the issue of talaq and the issue of divorce that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and allowed for human beings to have. Why? Because sometimes it happens that two people, they marry each other and they just cannot get along, and there is no other alternative except for to divorce. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed that thing to happen, and there is a wisdom behind it. Otherwise, how difficult would it be, and how much of a torture would it be for us as human beings to try to live with the person that we cannot get along with? And basically, that leads to hatred of each other, that leads to fighting, it leads to problems with the kids. The kids see the violence and the arguments going on all the time. So in that situation, rather than continuing with that poisonous relationship, it is better to do get what has been ordained by Sharia and allowed by Sharia, and that is to get a divorce. Not like in the Catholic faith, where it is truly, as they say, at the time of the marital vows, that till death do us part, okay? That there is no way that they can be separated until they actually die from each other, or one dies or the other one is alive. Islam is not like that. There is a wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the divorce to take place, and that wisdom for sure is there. And then there are certain things that we do not know the wisdom behind them, but maybe over time, scientific research will show that there is a wisdom behind it. For example, a person might object to the fact that, okay, I've gone to the bathroom and I've cleansed myself thoroughly after I've used the bathroom, so why do I need to go through the motions of washing my face and then my arms up to my elbows and my feet, including my ankles? Why do I have to go through all of that when I've cleansed myself properly in the bathroom? Allah knows. Allah knows what the wisdom is behind that. This is known as Amr Ta'abudi. So, but in any case, all of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a wisdom behind them, and there are signs within those commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to believe in them. So much so that if we reject any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been unanimously agreed upon by all of the ulama, then the rejection of that can actually lead us out of faith. We can become non-believers by rejecting those things. For example, a person says about the fasting in the month of Ramadan. He says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to torture us in the West. While we're in our Muslim countries, the employers, they give their employees a bit of a break because it's Ramadan. Early, people can go home, they can have a siesta in the afternoon and then come back to work a little bit later on, and so on. So I believe in the West, fasting is not obligated upon me. Okay? So that kind of attitude can actually lead a person out of Islam. Okay? So this is a very dangerous situation to be in. So the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been unanimously agreed upon, we cannot reject them and we cannot say we do not believe in them. Okay, so these are the three types of ayah. Again, the ayah is first and foremost the signs that we see around us in the universe, the sun, the moon, and so on. The second are the miracles that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam performed. And the third, the ayat in the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdoms behind the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the third type of ayah. So these people, if they are rejecting any one of those ayat, then basically they are out of the fold of Islam, and they continue to reject all of those ayat. Actually, if a person is a non-believer, he continues to reject all of these ayat. For the sun and the universe, he will say, well, everything came into existence by itself. And for the miracles of the prophets, he will say, well, these are all fabricated stories of the past, and I don't believe anything like that ever happened. As many so-called Christian scholars actually talk about the flood of Noah and stories which are related to the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they say, well, actually, possibly they didn't even happen. These are just stories of morals that were handed down from person to person, and maybe, na'udhu billah, they didn't even happen. So again, this is rejecting the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if a person rejects anything like that, he is actually out of the fold of Islam. So Allah says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ, how many of those signs, how many? And again, this is a wording of astonishment and wonderment, and showing takthir, meaning a lot, how many of the signs in the heavens and the earth. يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا, they pass by them, وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ, while they are turning their back to them, meaning turning their back and displaying kufr and disbelief. This is a figure of speech. Turning your back means not literally turning your back, it means not believing in those things. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, and most of them, they do not have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except they are committing shirk. Now, shirk here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he's talking about the word shirk, and generally speaking, we talk about shirk as associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is obviously the greatest form of shirk that a person has to avoid, and this is an unforgivable sin. However, as believers, also we sometimes tend to delve into or touch shirk without even realizing it. Okay, and that can be from in many forms. First of all, for example, dealing with superstition and things like amulets and magic charms and, you know, horseshoes and so on, believing in bad luck, good luck, all of these things are not permissible in Sharia, and actually they can be lead a person to shirk, that you believe in these, the horseshoe, or you believe in a black cat that crossed your path, you believe that walking under a ladder is going to give you 7 years bad luck, you believe that breaking a mirror is going to give you 7 years bad luck, all of these things are nonsense, and believing in them are tantamount to shirk. That you believe, for example, that mirror or that ladder or the black cat has the power, na'udhu billah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no, this is shirk. So we need to stay away from that type of shirk. Then there's a lesser form of shirk that, on the one hand, we say that, yes, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything, but, and then this but is the very kind of sensitive thing, that obviously we do believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does everything, and that iman has to be there, that Allah is the one who cures all of our sicknesses, and He is the one who does everything, and He is the one in control of everything. He is the one that gives us rizq and sustenance. Okay, and that iman has to be there, and we have to maintain it. And the things that lead us, the asbab, we are supposed to take the asbab and adopt the asbab. Like, for example, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءٍ, for every illness there is a medicine. So what does that mean? That you look for the medicine, try to seek a cure, go to the doctor, and if you are sick, you know, take a prescription, take the doctor's advice. But after doing all of that, in the back of your mind, and as a believer, we all believe that ultimately the cure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into the medicine, that is from Him and Him alone. And the fact that I went to the doctor, he is not the one who is curing me. I am simply taking up the asbab as the Prophet ﷺ instructed me to, but Allah is the one who is the Shafi. He is the one who will give me the cure. When it comes to rizq and sustenance, we don't just sit at home and wait for the rizq to drop from the sky, because it's never going to happen. Okay? We go, send out resumes, look for a job, make sure that we try our hardest to find a good job. which is paying a good salary so that we can support our family. And doing that is actually a form of ibadah if we do it with the instruction that the Prophet ﷺ instructed us to seek the rizq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us, ابتغوا من فضل الله, okay? إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فسعوا إلى ذكر الله فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to seek the fadl and not just sit at home or even sit in the masjid, rather to seek it. So when a person is seeking his sustenance and he realizes it to be a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing full well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the raziq, He is the one who's the razaq, then he is actually fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is engaging in ibadah when he is seeking his sustenance and providing for his family. However, if a person, he thinks to himself, no, I'm the one who is providing for my family. I'm the one that goes from morning to evening. And at that point, a person forgets about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's me and me and me, then that's a dangerous situation to be in. And that is kind of shirk, that you are putting yourself in the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you are the one who is providing. No, you are not the one. I'm not the one who's providing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is providing, but we simply have to adopt the means. So this is a lesser form of shirk that we have to try to avoid. And then there is another form of shirk that a lot of people and all of us have to try to avoid as much as possible, and that is the shirk of our intention and, you know, associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pleasing them. For example, a person, when he comes to the masjid and he wants to show that I come to all of the five times daily prayers, or when there's a fundraiser, he raises his hand and his intention is to show people that I'm such a generous person. Okay, there's nothing wrong with doing those things, but the intention always has to be cleaned. Always a person needs to purify his intention. And sometimes in these situations, better to remain anonymous. For example, when a person is giving in charity, better to give anonymously rather than saying the name, so that his ikhlas is maintained, his sincerity is maintained, and he is not engaging in this form of shirk, which is known as shirk khafi, a lesser form of shirk or a hidden form of shirk. And there are many, many hadith and verses of the Quran that talk about the importance of ikhlas and sincerity and making sure that we do things only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that the people who were at the pinnacle of their deeds, they, according to a hadith, will be thrown into the hellfire because their intentions were contaminated. So we always need to make sure that whatever we do it only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for any type of showing off, not for any type of what's known as riya and sum'a. Riya wa sum'a, these are two words that describe this wanting to get fame for what a person does. So this is another form of shirk that we need to avoid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in this verse, وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ, that most people, they do not have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except they are committing shirk. Except they are committing shirk. So even with iman, people are committing shirk. So this verse can take two meanings. First of all, they don't have iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they are committing shirk, meaning they're associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another meaning could be that despite having iman, they are still committing shirk, and these are the lesser forms of shirk that I've just described. So again, we have to be very, very careful of those forms of shirk. And finally, the last ayah, أَفَأَمِنُوا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Are they at peace that something will overcome them from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? غَاشِيَة is from the word غِشْيَان. غَشِيَة يَغْشَى. It means to basically cover somebody, like a blanket covers you. Okay, so this is called غِشْيَان. So are they at ease that a punishment that will cover them completely is going to come to them? Or as-sa'a the day of judgment comes to them, baghtatan, suddenly, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, while they're not aware. So these people that are committing these lesser forms of shirk, or they're not believing in the Prophet ﷺ, are they at peace that first and foremost that a punishment could come to them at any time? We have seen this on so many occasions. People are living and enjoying their lives, and all of a sudden a tornado comes, or a flood comes, or a hurricane comes, or an earthquake comes, or a fire comes. Something can happen at any time, destroying a person's life. So are people at ease that that cannot happen to them? We see it all around us at all times, but yet we always think that it's not going to happen to me. That is never going to happen to me. But the reality is that next it could be us. أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةُ بَغْتَةً, or that the hour can come to them suddenly. You know, the Prophet ﷺ, he said, مَنْ مَاتَ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. Whoever dies, his qiyamah has already started. That's really the reality, that once we leave this world, then our life of the hereafter has already started. Okay? When we are put into the grave, then our questioning starts, and basically that is the life of the hereafter. So the qiyamah has already started for us. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the sa'ah can come suddenly, it means that the death can come suddenly, وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ, while they're not even aware of it. Okay, and we see this all the time. Sudden deaths that occur, young people, old people, middle-aged people, the understanding that most of us have is, I'm going to live till I'm 70, 75, 80. The reality is we don't know. The death can come to us at any time, and we've seen younger people, 20s, 30s, passing away without sometimes even any kind of explanation. Okay, scientifically baffled people, that a perfectly healthy person is leaving this world without so much as, you know, any kind of illness that can be seen, but suddenly he leaves this world. So the punish or the day of judgment or death can come to us suddenly while we're not even aware. And what that means is that we need to be prepared for that death. And when it's talking about these disbelievers, it means that they should adopt iman before this death comes to them. Otherwise, it's going to be too late, because iman at the time of death, when they see the angel of death, at the time of what's known as gharghara in Arabic, when the soul is being removed from the body, that iman is not accepted at that time. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the understanding of the Quran and gives us tawfiq to understand what we've said. Jazakumullahu khair. Gracias.